A billionaire moves into the community. He has all kinds of money just kind of coming out of his ears, you know. And he moves several businesses that he owns into the community. And everyone is so happy now because there are jobs that to go around and there's plenty of work for everyone. He also brings to the community some wonderful benefits in the form of taxes that the city has gleaned from these businesses and from the people who have moved into the community, and so the city is doing well. And one day, this billionaire comes up to the city leaders and he says, "You know, I want to do more. I want to do more. I want to give $1 million to the city every year, and you can do with it whatever you want to do. Fix the roads, improve the sidewalks, build a better city hall, have more parks, all of these wonderful things you can do. And I will give you the money to do those things. But I have one condition, just one condition. You see, some friends of mine and I, we have a place out north of the city here on which we hunt. And we love to hunt deer and all the exotic animals, the wildlife. We import them in from all over the world and we keep them there in this one place, and we love to hunt them and we love to go out there and hunt. And I'm going to give you all of this money if you will just do one thing every year. I want you to hold a lottery. And you're going to put the name of every single person from 18 years old to 65 years old into this lottery. And when you put this name into this lottery, just once a year, we're going to select one person from that group, 18 to 65. And we're going to ask them to put on a deer costume. And just one day out of the year, we're going to put them up here in our hunting place in that deer costume. And they're going to roam out there, and my buddies and I, we're going to go out there and we're going to hunt. And we may hit this man and kill him, and we may not. You see, we just don't know because he's going to be disguised, just like all the other deer. But if you'll do this, then I will give you all kinds of money. We'll be able to improve the roads, build parks. We'll have our sidewalks upgraded. All of these wonderful benefits. If you'll just do this one thing, let us hunt a human one day out of the year." Now, I think you can hear that story and you would rightly be offended by that. You would think that's just an awful thing to do. That's a horrible thing to do. Why, all the money in the world wouldn't be able to buy us so that we'd let you hunt one person out there one day out of the year. No, no, no. Even if you didn't kill him, we still wouldn't let you do that. That's wrong. That's morally wrong to do something like that. And you would be right for saying that and for thinking that. But you know this, we do this in our society today, believe it or not. And this alcohol issue that we have before us is just this kind of thing. It's letting the big business come in and say, "Oh, we're going to give you all this money in the community. You're going to get all these tax dollars if you'll just let us sell this alcohol." And oh yeah, people may be killed, they may not be killed, we don't really know, but you're going to get a lot of money from this. So it's going to be a good thing, because everybody loves money. Now, can you not see how morally wrong that is to be motivated by that? You see, we end up justifying the deaths of other people for money. And that's a sad, sad commentary upon our society. See, no person's life is worth any fixed amount of money, because an individual person is so far more valuable than any amount of money that you might put on them. Every single person is worth so much more than that. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, we read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. You see, every single person is created in the image of God and is infinitely valuable because they have been created in God's image, and we ought to do everything that we can to prevent the needless, senseless, unjustified, unreasonable deaths of other people. Nothing in this world that is physical in nature is worth someone who is created in the image of God. Every single person is valuable. Consider what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now Jesus died on that cross and He shed His blood on that cross so that we might have forgiveness of our sins, so that our soul, our life, could be bought back to have fellowship with God once again. Now God has created us to be invaluable, and He paid the ultimate price for us, something that was invaluable, the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing that we can give in exchange for our souls, because we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. 1 Peter 1 verses 18 and 19. But we cheapen ourselves. We say we're not worth all of that. We're not worth being made in the image of God. We're not worth the blood of Christ, and we do it by the sinful things that we do in our life. That's what I want to talk about this morning. How we cheapen our lives. Because we do that. We do cheapen our lives. And we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about a few things by which we cheapen our lives. Things that we certainly want to avoid within our life. First of all, we cheapen our lives through greed. We cheapen our lives through greed. How many lives are wasted in the pursuit of money and possessions? And there are some evil, wicked people out there who would take no thought of destroying others for money. Because that's what they want. They just want more and more money, and they don't care how they get it. Take the alcohol issue that's before us on Tuesday. From 2004 to 2014, 43 people in Bowie County died in alcohol-related auto accidents. Now, if it was just one person, it would be too much. But now, 43 lives in that time period, 2004 to 2014, 10 years, 43 lives, lives that cannot be replaced. Families who have suffered the ultimate loss. Sons and daughters who may no longer have a father or mother. Parents who may no longer have children. All of that because of greed. Human greed. Wanting that money from the sale of that alcohol. And the greed says, why, these lives are only worth that money that we can get. Because that's what drives it. That's what drives it. Was it worth it? Was it worth it, all of you who have profited off the deaths of these people? Was it worth it? No. Listen to what the Bible has to say about greed. In Proverbs 1 and verse 19, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy of gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Now we're saying these things not because of the victims only necessarily, but because of those who are in pursuit of this wealth, in pursuit of this money, in pursuit of having this greedy attitude. It takes away their lives too. Their lives are being destroyed as they pursue greed. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 9 through 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Will he be greedy and get money in exchange for his soul? Is that what a life is worth? You know, not only greed is a problem, though, when we cheapen our lives through greed, but we also cheapen our lives through gluttony. Oh yeah, I'm going there this morning. Gluttony. Now, gluttony isn't just about food. It can be about food. But gluttony isn't just about overeating. Gluttony is trying to make ourselves feel good by consuming things of one kind or another. It can be food. And if that's our purpose when we're eating, if we're eating just to make ourselves feel good, well, then we've got a problem. And we need to address that problem. But there are other things that we consume on a daily basis just to make ourselves feel good that are really hurting us and harming us. And I'm going to explain how that is here in a few moments. You see, gluttony could be gluttony of food, but it could also be gluttony of alcohol or tobacco or drugs or television or the internet or video games. You see, we can glut on all of these things and destroy our lives as a result of doing that. We glut on things to make ourselves feel good. That's why we pursue these things. And alcohol is especially deadly because it is so addictive. And it does make a person feel very good, you know, when you drink it. Well, why do we want to feel good? You ever ask yourself that question? Why do you want to feel good? If you're glutting on something, food or alcohol or drugs or even television or the internet or whatever, if you're just glutting on that so much to make yourself feel good, to keep yourself entertained, you know, to keep from being quote-unquote bored, why do you need to feel good? We need to feel good because we feel bad. And we feel bad because of the sin that is in our life that affects us spiritually. You see, we've devalued ourselves with these earthly things. And when we devalue ourselves, we end up hating ourselves. And self-hatred makes you feel bad. It makes you feel awful. I don't feel good about myself anymore because, you see, I don't like who I am. And because I don't like who I am, I've got to do something to make me feel better. And so I turn to all these other things, like alcohol, food, tobacco, drugs, television, the internet. All of those things can make me feel better. But we're not addressing the real problem. The problem of why I feel bad in the first place. Well, the Bible says that gluttony is sinful. In Proverbs 23, 19 through 21, listen to this. The writer there says, "Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." And then if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 29 and following and just listen what the Bible has to say about imbibing of alcohol. Proverbs chapter 23, starting in verse 29. "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, 'They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?'" That's the picture the Bible gives of those who pursue wine. Gluttony. Gluttony cheapens our lives. It tells us we're only worth what we can consume, whatever that might be. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's talk about lust a little bit. There's another area of life where we cheapen ourselves. What is lust? Sometimes the word simply means desire. But in the way that we're using it this morning, it is the pursuit of bodily pleasure through sexual stimulation. Lust includes pornography, looking desirously at the opposite sex, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and many other sexual sins. Lust is all of those things. And why do we lust? For the same reason that we are gluttonous, because we want to feel good. We want to do something that makes us feel good. Along with greed and gluttony, lust is a confusion of what makes people truly feel good. It's confusion because we're pursuing something that can't ultimately satisfy. Oh, it makes us feel good for the moment. It makes us feel good for a minute. But then after it's gone, what do we do after that? We go back to feeling bad. And then we want to feel good again. Along with these things, we see that it only satisfies temporarily. And we ultimately devalue ourselves once again by saying we are only as good as what makes me feel good. And we devalue other people around us too because we say they're only good for how much money I can get out of them. Or they're only good for how they can serve me. Or they're only good for how they can I can use them to satisfy my own personal pleasures. You see, we are devaluing people through these things. We're saying they're no good, that they're worthless. Because all these physical things that we're pursuing are really ultimately worthless. They're not eternal. They're not lasting. They're not spiritual. Lust devalues other people. And it devalues us when we identify with it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, "But I say unto you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And then read with me, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 8. Here the Apostle Paul says this, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter." Now notice what he says, that we defraud other people when we treat them like this because we are saying they're not worth nearly as much as they are truly worth. We defraud them. That each one not take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter because, now listen to this, "The Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testify. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." Now listen to this, verse 8. "Therefore he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." And that leads us to our fourth point this morning. We devalue ourselves through greed. We devalue ourselves through gluttony. We devalue ourselves through lust. And finally, we devalue ourselves through pride. Pride. Pride is a confusion of identity. It is thinking that we are something that we actually are not. It is placing our identity in something of this world instead of in Christ. Pride is valuing something so highly that we are willing to be identified with it. And we will say things like, "Well, that's who I am. I'm somebody who's concerned about money, who loves money. I'm somebody who's a fornicator. I'm somebody who's an alcoholic. I'm somebody who's a glutton." This is who I am. Oh, no, no, no. You are so much more than that. You are so greater than that. You are so much more valuable than that. That is not who we are. We are persons created in the image of God. And God wants us to conform ourselves to the image of His Son, Jesus the Christ. But our pride prevents us from doing that. Why do we have pride? Because as humans, sin gets in the way. It confuses us as to what our identity really is. And we don't know who we are anymore. But we want to make something of ourselves. And so we tell ourselves a story. I'm only worth as much as this. Whatever this might be. And it could be any number of things. And that's what we identify with. And then our ambition pushes us. It pushes us to be valuable to other people. And we think then that our value is caught up in this one thing that we do and that that's who we are. No. No. You see, that one thing is never going to satisfy us because ultimately we're spiritual in nature. And only that which is spiritual is going to satisfy. Nothing in this world is going to serve as our identity, our true value. If we continue to pursue the things of this world as our identity, if we continue to put our pride in those things and identify with those things, whatever they might be, our true value will never be realized and we will continue to hate ourselves for it and we'll turn to these other things to make ourselves feel good. See, that's the cycle of sin that controls the lives of sinners. Pride goes before destruction, the Bible says, and a haughty spirit before the fall, Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Do not love the world, neither the things that are of the world. For all that is of the world, for the love of the Father, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and listen for it, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now what happens next? And the world is passing away. And the lust of it, that's also passing away. And what will happen to our lives when we then pass away? And no more of those desires can be fulfilled anymore. You see, John knew something very fundamental and very significant about us. And that is, if we give ourselves to God and don't identify with all these worldly things, then we will live forever with Him eternally in heaven. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We do not have to participate. No one does. But especially us, the people of God who are gathered here this morning, we do not have to participate in the world's lies about the value of human life. Now, I want you to know something, that I voted against this ordinance to legalize alcohol. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the opposition is going to win or not. I really don't know. They may win. But at least I am not complicit in what they're doing. By voting against this, I have stood up and I said, Lord, You're the ultimate judge. You know that I'm against this and that I don't want it. Because one day, we're all going to have to stand before Him. And He's going to judge us, everyone, according to the things we have done, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And one day, this vote is going to come up before God. And He's either going to look at our good works and say, you know what, I remember that. I remember the fact that you took a stand against this. And you did what was right. Or He's going to look at us and say, why didn't you act? Or why did you vote for this when you knew it was wrong? God will judge whether or not we as individuals take a stand. God will still judge. Let's resolve this morning not to cheapen our lives through the things of this world. Let's resolve not to identify with money or with consumption of things or with lust or to be lifted up with pride in something of this world so much that we become blind to our true spiritual nature. I'm so thankful also that Jesus gives us our true identity. He is the second Adam. He has come so that we might learn how to live in a godly way, how to have those lives of joy that God truly wants us to have, that joy comes from within, not from without. It comes from Him, not from us. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave His life for me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Would you give your life to Him today? Identify with Christ. Find your true identity this morning in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, while we stand and sing.